This is Laura Locke. Internationally acclaimed Canadian artist Timothy Schmaltz has been sculpting for over 25 years. He's known around the world for his large public monuments in bronze, as well as hundreds of commissioned works for Christian churches. Schmaltz was commissioned to create a large 2-meter by 2-meter bronze memorial by the Fort McMurray Fire Department just weeks before the recent wildfire. It's now scheduled to be installed in Fort McMurray in September. What follows are highlights from our recent interview with Timothy Schmaltz. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your childhood, your background, and did you grow up in a Catholic family?
Yes, my parents, I would probably describe them as secular humanists.
Okay.
I'd say I was left up to myself as far as ideas of spirituality, a free-range child in a sense, which I really do think was very positive for me that when I did have a conversion when I was 17, 18 years old, I began to look at Christianity with mature eyes and finding it absolutely fascinating. I think I escaped what a lot of Catholics experienced, and that was their religion was taken as some sort of punishment. For me, it was the mysterious world that was all new to me. Yeah, when I started learning about the saints, it was like, oh, this is so fascinating. This is so amazing. And I started reading works like The Confessions of St. Augustine, and I just found it so absolutely amazing. It's just this new world. Even now, I think when I do a sculpture, I do my best to look on it within that fresh perspective. I think that's how you can come up with creative ways of celebrating the Creator.
What sparked your sort of looking at the saints and reading some of these things?
Well, it's interesting enough because, like I mentioned, I had a conversion when I was 17 or 18. I became in a state of desperation. So at that time, I became a Christian, but it was years later when I kind of had an artistic conversion where my I had the same lost state with my artwork at the age of 19 that I had with myself as a person at the age of 17. And I kind of put the two together, but it was really from looking at the great masters. My favorite sculptors always were Christian sculptors. So I started to understand that in order to do a great piece of artwork, you need a great subject matter. And so I turned away from the what I would consider very nihilistic artwork that I was doing in my early teens. In art school, I was encouraged to mimic, in a sense, the Jackson Pollock, the Picassos. And I felt that there wasn't enough substance there, so I turned to the artwork that I appreciated.
Yeah, I read somewhere a little bit about your experience at art school, how you were down in the basement a fair amount of the time.
I went there to disagree with all of the teachers about the premise of artwork.
Okay.
And so eventually I built my own studio, in a sense. I feel that you can always learn. And the idea of not having a degree from any art school always gives me that lack of assurance that I've actually finished my education. Even today, I feel that I'm learning quite a bit after 25 years of obsessively doing sculpture.
Right.
What I find fascinating about sculpture, Christian sculpture, is the period of the Reformation where they started to destroy sculptures. And actually, they destroyed the sculptures more than they destroyed the paintings. And somehow a painting was okay, right?
Okay.
And I thought, the power of three-dimensional sculpture is evident when during that period of Christian history, they went around destroying it. And I was just recently working on a concept to celebrate Martin Luther. And in my research, the first Bibles Luther produced had etchings in, predominantly of the Revelations, because they sold more, right? And so you think about the whole culture of Western civilization, where you had so many Europeans that were illiterate and what a force that artwork was right. for them. And right. even when they were trying to sell Bibles, the Protestants, mm-hmm. they were putting graven images within their pages of the Bible. So right. here's to Christian artwork, right?
That's right.
What I find fascinating is trying to visually translate ideas of whether it be a saint or ideas from the Gospels mm-hmm. and trying to give it that universal, visual, authentic presentation. And mm-hmm. it is difficult, but mm-hmm. I think that the end result can be overpowering. We mentioned mm-hmm. before about how people were illiterate and that's the only way they could access the Bible. But right. I think nowadays there's a parallel to that. Not that people don't mm-hmm. know how to read and write, but the time it takes to read something is mm-hmm. difficult nowadays for so many people. Yeah, or actually reminders of mm-hmm. Eternal ideas that you've known for years, but to have that reminder put right. in your visual landscape
right,
among
right.
the Coca-Cola sign, the McDonald's sign, why not have a couple visual cues to bring us an enriched spirituality,
yeah,
right?
Very true. And I guess that's what, you know, your art being so public, right? And it is right out there, sort of in the marketplace, isn't it? And on the street.
I think when a piece of artwork can be placed in a public position, because then you have to also think about artwork as a form of conversion. It almost becomes a visual ambassador to your religion. Not only just for the people that understand, but it becomes a platform for an introduction. For instance, if a sculpture is outside a church, you're really making a statement on what's inside the church.
Right.
And
right.
what I find is that if it's a poorly done image, it's kind of saying what's inside is predictable, and you probably won't find any benefit from going in, right? If one closes one's eyes and thinks of Mary, usually a artwork will come into that black space.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, well, what type of artwork? Hopefully it's something like Michelangelo,
right.
not one of these mass-produced plastic
right.
red-lipped Marys that you see.
That's right.
But you never know. But my point is to, and I think yeah. it's my basic premise is to give hands and feet to some of the most eternal ideas of our Christian faith,
right.
which is big task
mm-hmm.
to do, as you
mm-hmm.
can
yeah.
obviously imagine.
Right. What is it about the big, you know, the epic, that scale that appeals to you?
You know, I used to be so excited. Sculptures like My One Body that have 150 saints, and I
mm-hmm.
used to be so excited about that.
Mm.
But now I'm really focused on not necessarily the size of a piece,
mm-hmm.
but just to authentically put forth what I read in the Bible, really,
mm-hmm.
right? It can be done with few brush strokes.
Okay.
That's what I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished When I Was Naked, You Clothed Me, a sculpture that
mm-hmm.
for 3 years I struggled with, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Rome, actually. I was across from the Vatican discussing my homeless Jesus being placed
mm-hmm.
at the Papal Charities building. And that
right.
night, yeah, I was sitting looking out my hotel room in Rome, and I saw the homeless people right across the street from me getting ready for nighttime. They were building, literally building things with
mm-hmm.
cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mesmerized. I was watching them, and I realized that cardboard for the least of our brothers and sisters means a lot more than what it means for us.
Yeah.
And it kind of, for them, it was not only something to keep them warm, but something to cushion them from the concrete they were lying on,
right.
but also it was a shelter between them and the world. And
mm-hmm.
the next day I woke up and I realized how to create When I Was Naked, You Clothed Me.
Mm.
It's a naked figure
mm-hmm.
that has to be naked or it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But what he does have is he's sheltering himself with a piece of cardboard.
Mm.
And it is one of the most haunting representations I've ever created. The first cast is actually going at the entrance of St. Peter in Chains in downtown Rome, and they're placing it in the portico right as you enter, and which is fascinating because the whole work was inspired by Rome, and they're the first cast of it is going to a 4th century church in Rome, so very, very coherent in a sense, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess that would be a good one to ask you the question, like, what impression do you hope viewers will kind of come away with when they encounter that sculpture?
I am very hopeful. If a sculpture goes to Rome, in a sense, it goes to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the great masters, when they created these pieces, like Michelangelo or Bernini, an added element has been introduced over the centuries of their work, and that is that it's old and antiquated, and it should be in a museum, right? And by having a new creation like that, and especially the fact that it's going to be installed at the entrance to the church, which has the Michelangelo's Moses in, it's a very powerful statement that our faith is old, but it's also new and relevant today.
I'd just like to touch on the actual, sort of the process when you're working these long hours with a piece and, by yourself. And how does that become a connection with God?
I usually start sculpting at around 4 in the morning, and I stop at around 5 in the evening every single day. For years now, what I do, the only sound I have is the Bible being played in the background on repeat. So I'm always visually kind of focused on things.
Right.
Then I have the audio going on that I'm pulling things down from the air, turning them around, not only thinking about them, but thinking about how they apply to sculpture, right? My prayer is a practice of creating. When you create, it's almost like you're acting in a play. There's passive prayer, and then there's prayer in motion. I could pray about St. Moline, this Irish saint, but instead of just praying and reading about him, I'm taking this information, and with all my heart, soul, and brain, trying to take those words and form it into a sculpture, which requires, I think, intensity and understanding of the subject matter to a certain degree.
Yeah, for sure.
And also it takes the whole library of all the pieces I did beforehand, which is something that that always comes as a resource. What did I do 15 years ago on that saint? And maybe I can incorporate that into my work now, right? Yeah, and I think that the pure long hours of being in relative silence and being close to the Bible every single day, every single hour, must somehow rub off on me. And hopefully if it rubs off on me, it'll rub off on my artwork.
Do you have any stories about some of your pieces that have ended up in interesting places? Or
the homeless Jesus is still, just yesterday a reporter from England interviewed me about how it's the decision to reject it from Westminster Council is being appealed by the Methodists in the center of the city. And the Westminster Project is very interesting, and because it's Westminster Methodist Central Hall is right across the street from Westminster Abbey, who both love the sculpture, and the Westminster Central Hall wants to place it in front of their church, and they're being forbidden to by the Westminster Council.
Right.
And it's interesting how you have criticism about one of the most core ideas of Jesus, and a lot of it comes from Christians. How you see Jesus represented is a very sensitive issue for Christians. And some of them are very upset. But a sculpture and how you approach a sculpture reveals a lot of the person who's viewing it. When I get a non-Christian or an atheist saying, "I'm not Christian, but I like this sculpture," and I get that quite a bit, well, maybe you should re-examine Christianity then.
Yeah, exactly.
So it can be kind of an invitation. And I think that for a long time, the artwork has been a very poor visual ambassador to show the awesome, challenging Christianity that it is. So what I want to do is I want to continue to create pieces that are perfect visual ambassadors to our faith.
So what are you actually working on now then? What are you excited about? Is that just finishing off this?
Yeah, I'm working on a Trinity piece right now. Working on the clouds of it. It's a really nice piece, but it's and I'm also working on a representation of Jesus. Tomorrow morning I'll start, which is Jesus washing St. Peter's feet. However, the St. Peter is missing, and so it's just the representation of Jesus.
Coming up.
What I'm excited about right now is this year, every single day, I'm listening to the Old Testament, and I'm going to be doing sculptures of what I find some of the most powerful ideas represented in the Old Testament. One of the sculptures I was working on this Easter was love God with all your mind, heart, and soul, but I don't like it. So it's just sitting there. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I have to have enough courage to throw something in the bucket if it's just not working, right?
Yeah,
but as long as my mind and my heart and my soul is, in a sense, focused on glorifying God through our work, whatever comes, it can come.